I don't know where it's written, but somewhere it says that you, if you're teaching a class about reliability, you have to mention the bathtub curve. And it's even called out in the body of knowledge as one of the examples underneath the probability distributions area. Now, there are really contorted and hard to use actual distributions that provide the characteristics of what we call the bathtub curve. But in general, there isn't any such beast. So let's take a look at what this bathtub curve is all about and define it a little more clearly. It seems to be in every book on reliability that I've seen, and it's been in every course I've taught. Although it's at times when I leave it out, somebody asks about it, so it's brought back in real quick. It's in every seminar or lecture I've seen that talks about reliability distributions of any form or shape or whatever. But the basic idea is that it describes the pattern of product, a group of products, basically a product line, I should say, as they exist over time. And it's pretty typical. Now, one of the best examples is just humans, human mortality. And even our language for infant mortality is part of this bathtub curve element. So this first part, and this is our age across the x-axis, and it's in years. And in many parts of the world, and to some extent more or less to a certain effect, this curve will take a very similar shape. This data happens to come from the UK, and I don't remember over what time frame it was, but it was relatively recent. But basically, as an infant, we have a struggle to stay alive for the next day or two. We have a reasonably high chance of failing or dying early in our life. Modern medicine and different care that's come up, education and health of everybody involved has greatly improved this, but there's still this infant mortality phenomena. And so out of every, say, 1,000 births, there's a chance that you won't see your second day, and so on, but it decreases pretty quickly. If you make your first year, you're likely to see your second year, and so on, down to about the age 10. 10-year-olds are about as invincible as you get as a human. If you make it to 10, you're very likely, you're more likely to see 11 than any other birthday to birthday span. Maybe that's why 10-year-olds climb trees so much and things like that. But this early part is called infant mortality, and it comes from this phenomena that occurs in our race. The other part that occurs, and it's a phenomena that happens at about 16, is there's this step function where it increases dramatically as we start driving. In the most of the world, the driving age is 16. And at about that time, we kick up the mortality rate. But that's an artifact of our laws and expectations around car driving in particular. But generally, the teens to about 30 or 40 years old is relatively flat. This section in here is not changing dramatically. It's usually accidents, slips, trips, and falls, and that kind of thing that causes death. Of course, there's other things that can cause death, and that's not perfectly flat, and it's mostly due to the car driving, but that's what we would typically call the flat part of the bathtub curve, or the, some people call it the useful life, is characterized in that range. So typically, if we can eliminate this part in the factory, don't ship products that have that those failure mechanisms, accelerate them or burn them in or test them somehow to eliminate that element, then we should have a relatively flat failure rate for some period of time, which we call the flat part of the curve or the useful life. But then we start to wear out. As humans, used to be that our teeth would deteriorate and we weren't able to eat, so that was would cause death fairly quickly. But as dental hygiene's gotten better and other medical science has gotten better, it's other diseases that eventually get us. So we see this steady increase in failure rate. So if you happen to be in your 20s right now, you're doing pretty good, and the rest of us are kind of over the hill, is one phrase for it. But we're in our wear out mechanism. Things, our knees aren't quite as strong as they used to be, and all kinds of other things. Can't quite see as well, our hearing's going, all kinds of things are starting to break down. But the same basic phenomena occurs with all kinds of products and with all kinds of systems, not just with the human. Now, I should go back to this curve. There are people that have come up with and written papers about creating a single formula that describes this curve. They're either piecemeal or convoluted or overfit, in my opinion, and not generally very helpful in describing what's really going on. But you can plot it if you want to. And I'd rather just plot it on a graph like this if that's what you're really interested in. Or the, say, the total lifespan of your product, what's its chance of failing per year of operation, for example. You may see something like this. What the bathtub curve is a nice convention. It's a way for us to break down the types of failures and when we see them over time, or, and then give us indications of what we should do about it. But in reality, like the human mortality curves, it's a combination of many, many different failure mechanisms. So infant mortality can be caused by birth defects or by a weak immune system that gets exposed to something that causes death, and so on. All kinds of different things can happen early in life. And our products, if they have manufacturing defects, if they get damaged in shipping or installation, if there's other parts to it, but transportation damage may show, you know, immediate, if a very high likelihood that it's an immediate failure mechanism, and then it has may have latent defects that may occur later in time. But there's literally dozens of different ways, different components and so on, that each have their own probability of causing infant mortality. But then later, then we start seeing corrosion problems, or we see metal fatigue, or we see oil lubrication breakdown, or we see contamination issues coming up, or we see fatigue or fretting or cracking, or the list goes on of all the ways that our products can wear out. But essentially then, what I end up with is a bathtub curve. And it gets its name because of the profile. It's this shape of one of those old-fashioned bathtubs. That's where we get the name of it. But keep in mind that it's an aggregate of all of the different failure mechanisms that are competing to cause a product to fail. Now, when you create a product and ship it out the door, you don't know if it's going to fail from a manufacturing defect in the first week, or it's going to last 200 years and finally fail due to a transistor junction failing and having the migration of the charges across the transistor causing it to fail. There's literally thousands of ways each product can fail. And when they ship out the door and as they go through their use, shipping, transport, installation, use, and storage, everything it does, it will accumulate its own probability of failing. And eventually, something will cause it to fail. It's just that we don't know which one it is. Hence, this long discussion about statistics and distributions and probabilities and so on. It's that when we ship 100 units, and 1,000 units or 1,000,000 units, and we start collecting data and analyzing failure mechanisms, we start to identify which ones are contributing the most to infant mortality or to wear out. And then how do they interact? And which ones can we do something about to extend the life or reduce the failure rate? So bathtub curves provide us that if we have these earlier failures, we tend to look at assembly, supply chain, assembly, transportation, installation type issues. And it also could be training. People that are initially using the products cause damage inadvertently. But it's characterized by that decreasing failure rate. Now, the constant failure rate, which in my opinion is pretty rare, tends to be just accidents. It tends to be elements that truly occur at a random phenomena. So power spikes, while not truly random, tend to be random in some parts of the world. There is an argument that for very large, complex systems, the phenomena of the system level of failures tends to look like a constant failure rate as different parts of the system are being repaired on a regular, ongoing basis. That may be true, but it's usually at such a high level of the data set that there's no actionable information there. So you really need to get down and understand what's failing and looking at different subsystems of these complex parts. Constant failure rate is that all of the different failure mechanisms are causing failures at a regular, at a fairly consistent rate. So accidents, trips, slips, trips, and falls for humans in our teens and 20s is not perfectly flat, but it might be flat enough that we call it the flat part of the curve. And the last part is wear out. Fatigue, corrosion, deterioration of material properties, all kinds of things, oxidation, rust. The list of wear out mechanisms is pretty long. But it's the period of time that when we design the product, we're trying to make sure that the wear out period doesn't really increase the failure rate until well after the period of time that we want to have the full use of the product and maintain a low failure rate. So that we call it the onset of the wear out period. The onset's kind of misleading because it's going to start fatiguing from day one. It's just the chance that your bearings fail in the first week are very, very, very small. It's from wear out. It's the accumulation over time that eventually that failure rate increases enough that we care. So it isn't that there's no chance of wear out over the useful life. It's just that it's low enough that we don't care, that we don't need to improve it. So wear out occurs according to the failure mechanisms and how they function. And we try to design products so that they're robust enough and solid enough, or they're repairable in such a way that we can extend the life of a product so that it provides the value that we're expecting. So here's a trick question for you to think about. Can it wear out quickly? Is that possible? If you get a failed bearing that shows excessive wear in the first week of shipping a product that's supposed to last 5 years, would you classify it as early failure or wear out? Be interested in what you think of that. So in the next section, we're going to talk about Poisson process models, which is dealing with models that are of repairable systems primarily. Homogeneous Poisson processes is where we'll start with it. And as a reminder, I think I've shown this slide or something similar a few times, and you'll see it a few more times, is to get the most from the course is do work the homework problems, do work those quizzes, and practice using your calculator, paper and pencil, and your references. If you're pulling up Excel to do the calculations, well, you're practicing the wrong thing. You're going to get really, really good at using Excel, but you won't have that in the exam. If you have any questions, send them over. We've got the different forms and discussion group type areas, or you can just contact me directly. That'd be great. So hopefully it's going well so far, not too much math. And sorry to say, or glad to say, because it's our profession, there's more math to come.